we'll get on. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Nathan. I thank you for his willingness to, just to serve you and just to come out and share the gifts that you've given him. I just pray that you'll bless him as he's at school and the hard place that can be to follow you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you have Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 43. And we're reading from verse 10 to 13. Isaiah 43, starting from verse 10. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe in me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, and there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Saviour besides me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there is no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Even from eternity I am he, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? We'll just pray before we start. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity we have to come and look into your living word. I just pray that your spirit will be among us as we read and as we look into what you have for us tonight. I just pray you give us open hearts and minds to hear from you tonight. I pray that you'll just be among us as we learn more about who you are and what you have done for us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so normally preachers, I often think they always have kind of catchy kind of titles for their sermons. And I'm never good at it. But if I was to put a title to this sermon, it would be Know, Believe, Understand, in that order. That would be what my title would be. Because tonight we're going to be looking at what it means to know, believe, and understand. We're going to be looking at those three words, because it's important that it's in that order. Because in the world, as we look around us, most people like to understand, and then believe, and then know. That's the world's kind of view of things. If you don't understand it, then they can't believe it, and they can't know it. So an example of this is I'm a plumber, and I was working at a house quite a few months ago. And it was early in the morning. It was at 8 o'clock I got there, and I was taking a radiator off the wall because they were doing some renovations in the kitchen. And the man who I was working for, his grandson and granddaughter were staying over at the house. And so as I got to work, they both came down. And the grandson, he came in and he saw me there, and he was a little bit shy. And then he went off. His granddad said, "Oh, you better go up and get changed and come down for breakfast." And as he was going with his granddad, I could hear him saying, "Who's that man? Why is that man there?" And his granddad said, "Oh, he's taking the radiator off the wall." And then it started. He said, "Why?" And he said, "Oh, well, we're doing some renovations to the house, to the kitchen. Why?" And the questions just keep coming. And I'm sure if you have children, you'll know that they like to know why. And it's something that the world and how we grow up being taught to always have to ask the question why, always need to understand something before we can believe and know it. And so there's three kind of statements that we see in these verses. And the first one is in verse 10. It says, the Lord God is one. It says that before me there is no God formed, and there'll be none after me. So the Lord God is one. That's the first statement. The second one is in verse 11 and also in verse 12. Verse 11 says, I am the Lord, and there is no Saviour besides me. The Lord God is our only Saviour. And then the third one is in verse 13. It says, from eternity I am he, and there is no one that can deliver you out of my hand. And I act, and who can reverse it? And we see that the Lord is all powerful. But as I read them statements, I often think when you tell people about that, maybe people who aren't Christians, they find it hard to understand. And anyone who's looking at it and they try and understand it in their own strength, I think it's impossible for them to understand it. Because the world and the devil is very deceptive in things like that. The world would say, oh, well, there's lots of religions. There's not just one God. The world would say there's many saviors, and it's not there's not just one. And they would say that there's lots of things that are powerful in the world, and that the Lord God is not all powerful. And these are the things that people have to contend with. And I think it makes it hard to understand these statements that God says. But in God's kingdom, it's different. And so I want to look at these three words. So we're going to look at to know, to believe, and to understand. And like I said, it's important that it's in that order. In God's kingdom, it's in that order. And so the first word is know. And it means to acknowledge, accept, or admit the existence or truth of. And so I look at that, I think there's three things that we need to acknowledge, first of all. And the first thing we need to acknowledge is God. We need to acknowledge that God is holy, so he's set apart, and there's no one else like him. And then the second is we need to acknowledge that God is all-powerful, and that nothing can come close to him in terms of power. He's sovereign over all things. And then also we need to acknowledge that God created us to be in a relationship with him and to have fellowship with him, to be known by God and to know him. So the first thing we need to acknowledge, we need to acknowledge God. If we don't acknowledge God, then we can't. I think it's impossible to understand him. And then the second thing, we need to acknowledge our sin. And I've got a little a quote here from Robert Shaw. He wrote, "The Gospel According to Peanuts." I don't know if any one of you have read Peanuts, the comic strip with Charlie Brown and Snoopy. And so this is Robert Shaw. He wrote, "The Gospel According to Peanuts." And so I'll just read the quote from his book. And Lucy says to Charlie Brown, she says, "You know what the whole trouble with you is, Charlie Brown?" And Charlie Brown says, "No. And I don't want to know. Leave me alone." Lucy says, "The whole trouble with you is you won't listen to what the whole trouble is about is with you." And I thought that is so like how the world is today. It doesn't want to know what the problem is with it, even though it knows there's a problem and it's trying to rectify the problems in the world and the problems that it has, the emptiness that they have in their life. They don't want to accept that the problem is sin, and they always try and find it, the Savior, being saved from that sin in other things. They don't want to accept that sin is the problem. But we know that in Romans 3:23 it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory, the presence of God." And sin is independent from God. It's relying on ourselves, and we're all born into that. None of us have escaped sin. It's passed down through our ancestors, and so we cannot escape of it. None of us have got away from sin. We're born with it, and we cannot save ourselves, and it's relying on ourselves. And then also in Romans 6:23 it says, "For the wages of sin is death, physical and spiritual death." You see, our sin, it separates us from God, and we cannot have a relationship with him. And so we need to stop making excuses for it, and we need to stop burying our heads in the sand and pretending it doesn't affect us, because sin affects us in a great way. It causes us to be separated from God, physical and spiritual death, separated from God. So that's the second thing we need to acknowledge. We need to, first of all, acknowledge God and who he is, and then we need to acknowledge our sin and how it affects us and that it needs to be dealt with. And then the third thing we need to acknowledge is that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Because Jesus is God incarnate, he's God in human form. And Jesus lived a life without sin, because this was because he was totally available to God and totally reliant on him. And we see this in John chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "Therefore Jesus answered and said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in a like manner. We see that Jesus, his life, his time on earth, he did nothing of his own accord. He was totally available to God in all things and totally reliant on him to do it through him. And this is how God intended us to live. And Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice, the penalty for our sin when he died on the cross, because he loved us so much and he wanted a relationship with us. But Jesus rose 3 days later, and death and sin was defeated. And you see, we read later, Paul talks about how if there was no resurrection, if we didn't believe in the resurrection, then we would still be in our sin. You see, Jesus' resurrection qualifies Jesus' death on the cross as sufficient for the penalty. So that's the first thing, the word we were looking at, to know, to acknowledge that something, I'll just read it again, to acknowledge and accept the existence and truth of. And so we need to acknowledge and know that God is who he says he is, and we need to acknowledge that. We need to acknowledge our sin and that it needs to be dealt with, and that we cannot do anything on our own to save ourselves from it. It needs to be dealt with. And then also we need to acknowledge Jesus and his life and his death and his resurrection. And then the second word, believe, and that's to confirm or state with assurance something is true. You see, it's not enough just to acknowledge God. We must believe Jesus and his life and his death and his resurrection. And I think a great example of this is the wise and the foolish builder that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7:24. And he starts off, he says, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house upon the rock." You see, often we look at that story and we kind of see Jesus talking about the firm foundation that Jesus is. And that is true. But really, Jesus' main point here is that if we only hear these words that he's talking about, if we don't put them into action, then we're like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. It's not just enough just to hear those words that Jesus is saying, but we must act on them. We must put them into practice. We must believe in them. And if we believe in Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, and then we are saved from our sin, and we're no longer separated from him. And in Acts 16:31, it says, they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." We just need to believe Jesus and what he's done for us, his life and his death and his resurrection. We need to believe in that and put our faith in that, and we are saved from our sin. You see, when our sin is taken away, we become children of God. We're adopted into his family, and we're related to God through Jesus. And you see, the main goal of relationship is fellowship. And God wants fellowship with those who know and believe in him, who acknowledge and believe in him. And fellowship, it's different to a relationship. Fellowship is to share in common, being of one. So to be known by God and knowing him intimately. But the difference is fellowship requires work. It's not something that just happens. It requires work. And an example of this is I went to Canada to Bible school quite a few years ago, and while I was out there, I wanted to keep in touch. Well, Mum wanted to keep in touch with me more than anything, and obviously the difference between relationship and fellowship, like I was saying, relationship is something that can't be broken. So I'm related to Mum and Dad through blood, and I can't break that. There's nothing I can do about that. Not that I would want to anyway, but I can't break that. And but fellowship, like I said, requires work. And so while I was separated by the Atlantic Ocean and most of Canada as well, because I was on the west side, our relationship was always going to stay the same, but our fellowship would have broken down. But because of Skype and Mum's persistence, each week, fellowship was always kept together, because Mum would tell me what was going on in England and I would know what was happening, and I would tell her what was going on in Canada. And so fellowship, it requires work, and that's that was the same there in that example of Skyping home. It kept the fellowship strong, and it's the same with our relationship with God. We must keep that fellowship going, but it requires work. It requires us daily to follow him and trust in him and believe in him. And it's easy for me to say at the front that you must believe. It's a hard thing to do. Following Jesus is not easy, and choosing him and believing him in each day is not always easy to do. You know, we often face maybe situations that we don't always understand. And I was thinking about that, and there's story, account in Mark. Jesus has just been on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's just been transfigured on the mountain, and he comes down with his few disciples, and there's a crowd has gathered, and a father has brought his son who is demon possessed, and he's talking to Jesus because the disciples couldn't get that demon out of him. They couldn't bring it out of the son, and so Jesus is brought to Jesus to see what he can do. The father says to Jesus, about his son, he says, "It often throws him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can help, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And so, and then Jesus says to the man, he says, and Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. And I love this verse straight after. Verse 24, it says, "Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, 'I do believe, help my unbelief.'" And I just thought that's such a great, the father, you know, he believes, but there's part of him that doesn't believe. But he gives that straight to God. He says, help me with my unbelief. And because I was saying, believing is hard, and we're always going to have times where we find it hard to believe. But in that times, we've just got to give it straight to God, like that father did. He said, "Help me with my unbelief." And I think it's important for us as we daily go into each day that we're going to face things that we don't understand, and we find hard to believe in God at that time. But we've just got to take those times and just give it straight to God. Say, "Help me with my unbelief. Help me get through this situation, because I can't do it on my own." And I just think that's really important. And so the first thing we need to believe that in Jesus' death is life. His life, sorry, is death and his resurrection. We need to believe in him. That's the second thing. So to acknowledge him first, and then believe. And then look at to understand the last word. To understand is to discern, and recognize, to find out. So kind of let's kind of put together what we've kind of looked at in the past too. So until we acknowledge who God is, until we acknowledge our sin and what it how it affects us and that it needs to be dealt with, until we acknowledge that Jesus is life and death and resurrection. And until we believe in his life, death, and resurrection, and who God is, and that through Jesus we have been saved and that from our sin, and that we are children of God and we have fellowship with him, only then can we begin to understand and recognize that God is. We can understand and recognize that God is, the Lord God is one. In verse 10, no matter what we exalt in our life, no matter what the world tells us to put a fist in our lives, that like money or our job, our career or relationships, we will begin to understand when we have acknowledged God and those things that I've talked about and believe in him, we'll begin to understand that the Lord God is one, and nothing else even comes close to him. And then the Lord God is our Saviour. We will begin to understand and recognise when we acknowledge and believe in God that only through Jesus can we be saved from our sin. Not through good works or things like that. That they cannot save us, and money and things like that cannot save us. That only through Jesus can we be saved from our sin. And that the Lord God is all powerful. We understand and recognize that God is powerful, and he created all things by his spoken word. Probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Genesis 1, chapter 3. And it says, "Then the Lord said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." And I just think that's so amazing that, And so it's hard to even get your head around it, that God spoke and it happened. It just came into being. And it shows the immense power that God has, and that we have no need to be afraid when we're trusting and following God, because He is all powerful. He is sovereign over all things. He is ruler over all. And as we read the Bible, as you go through the Bible, we see how God is all powerful. He acts, and no one can reverse it. We see that so often through the Bible. He sets things in motion, and no one can do anything about it to change it. His will is the thing that remains over all. And another verse, a couple of verses I really like as well, is John chapter 10, verses 27 to 28. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." And I love that verse, especially the end where it says, "No one will snatch them out of my hand." I just think that's so cool, and what a comfort that is for us to know that there's many powerful things on earth, but none of these things can take us away from God. Not even the devil can take us away from God when we've acknowledged and believed in Him, when we're trusting and following in Him, that nothing can snatch us out of His hand. Isn't that such a great thing to know and to remind ourselves of daily, of that truth that we have? And as believers, as we continue to understand and recognize more each day, as we trust and follow Jesus, we begin to find out more about His character. As we follow Him and we trust Him, we begin to see more of who He is and what He's done for us. But as I say this, I'm not saying that you're going to know everything. I'm not saying you're going to be able to understand all that God does, because we're not going to, because He is so much higher. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are more higher than our ways. We're never going to know and understand all that God does. And a great verse of this is Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but the things revealed belong to us and for our sons forever, so that we may observe all the words of this law." I just think that's a great verse as well, to know that God has secret things that are for Him and not for us, but He's revealed what we need to know about Him and what He's done for us. And so we should rejoice in those things. And like it says, share them with each other. So when I think it's great to come together and share about what God's doing in our lives, because it's a great encouragement to each other. And I just think it's a good thing to do. We should rejoice in those things that He's revealed to us and share them with those around us. So those are the three words I want to look at. To acknowledge Him, to acknowledge God, and to acknowledge our sin. And how it affects us and it needs to be dealt with, and to acknowledge Jesus and His life and His death and His resurrection. And once we've acknowledged it, we need to believe in it, and we need to believe in those things so that we can be saved from our sin through Jesus Christ, His death on the cross, and then also His resurrection that comes so that He can come and live within us. And that's so great. And I was just thinking, how we were singing "Worthy is the Lamb" and how He's seated on the throne. And when we were singing that, I was thinking about how in the Bible, I often, in Hebrews it says in chapter 1, the first few verses, it talks about how Jesus is seated at the right-hand side of God. And often you can just kind of read through that He's seated at the right hand of God. But there's a big reason why He's seated at the right hand of God. He's seated, He's not stood, He's seated because death sin has been conquered. There's nothing left to do. He sat down, and He'll only rise again when he welcomes those who have trusted and believed in Him. He'll stand and say, "Welcome, good and faithful servant." And isn't that such a great thing to know, that He's seated because death has been and sin has been conquered, and the work is finished, and that we don't have anything to worry about when we're following Him, because He's already conquered death and sin on the cross. Then the last thing I just want to look at is we are. It says twice in these verses, it said that we are to be His witnesses in verses 10 and 12. And so I just want to look at that briefly, because it says it twice, so it must be important. And a witness is someone who proves who provides evidence or proof. And Jesus, when He lived on earth, His goal was to witness to everyone that God is fully alive, and that, and to show that God how God intended us to live. So that so Jesus' goal on earth as he walked the earth was to show to everyone that God was fully alive, and that how and show how God intended us to live, which was to be fully available to him and fully reliant on him. And so this is what we as witnesses are to do. We're to show that God is fully alive in all that we do, and to show that how God intended us to live, which is that he's fully being reliant on him, and fully available to him. And this can be a hard thing to do. I would think to be a witness. Sometimes our emotions get in the way, and we kind of someone maybe isn't treating us right, and so we kind of get a bit annoyed with them, and so we don't show a good witness in how we should be. It's a hard thing to do. I know on the football field when I'm playing, that's probably one of the worst places to be when you're trying to be a witness, because it's so easy to get involved in the game, and then a tackle goes in on one of your mates, and so then you think you have to get them back, and it's easy to get carried away. But in those times, we've just got to remember that Jesus is who we're kind of showing and who we're representing when we're out on the football field, that we're representing Jesus and his life, and also to remember that, yeah. And so it's a hard thing to do, to be a witness for God. But here's some encouragement for you. And it's in John 20, chapter 21. And it's when Jesus has appeared after he's been resurrected to the disciples. And Jesus said to them, he says, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. And I just think that's such a great comfort to know that as God sent Jesus, Jesus also sends us with the exact same power that the Holy Spirit is living in us, in and through us. And we have that same power in us as we go out. We can know that we don't have to rely on ourselves, that we can rely on God and his Holy Spirit. And I kind of, like as I say this, I don't know if you've ever been in the situation where you maybe someone's asked you a question about Jesus, and maybe some of your workmates or schoolmates, something like that, and all of a sudden the fear takes over. You think, oh, I need to tell them this, or I need to tell them that. I need to tell them this, and before you know it, in those split seconds, as we're thinking about what we're supposed to be saying, we've made it about ourselves. We've made it that we need to say this and we need to say that, and before we know it, we're relying on self, which is sin. And Galatians 5 verse 1 is a great verse. It says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And so just in those times when we're faced with a situation where the fear maybe takes over in those situations, and we get a bit worried about what we're supposed to be saying and things, we just need to stand firm and remember that God has sent, as God sent Jesus, Jesus sent us, and we just need to remember that, and just remember that, like I said, that the Holy Spirit lives in us, and those who trust and follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit guides and lives and helps us in all situations we face. And so we have no need to rely on ourselves ever. And so that's a kind of all that I want to say tonight. And so I'll just pray before I hand over back to the... Are you going to sing one more song? Yeah, so I'll just hand over after that. So I'll just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you... I thank you for your Son Jesus Christ. I thank you that you don't do things the way the world does. And I just pray that you'll just remind us of how we need to acknowledge you, and we need to acknowledge who you are and your character, and we need to acknowledge our sin and how it affects us and how it separates us from us, and that we cannot deal with it on our own. And then we need to also acknowledge Jesus. And we need to acknowledge his life and his death and his resurrection. And I pray that you'll just help us to believe in those three things. I pray that you'll help us as we go into our daily lives, how hard situations that we often face are hard. And I just pray that, that even though in those hard times, even though we're struggling to believe and we want to believe, I pray that you just help us with our unbelief. I pray that we'll just give it over to you and give it into your hands so that you can deal with it and you can come alongside us in those times. And yeah, but I just thank you that that we can understand more about who you are. I thank you that you reveal yourself to us. And I thank you that we can rejoice in that. I thank you that we can share it with those around us. And I just pray that, we are your witnesses. And I just pray that as we go out into the world and as we go to those around us and further afield maybe, I just thank you for thank you that you are always with us. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives in us and through us. And that we don't need to rely on ourselves, but we can just follow you and trust in you, knowing that you are all-powerful and sovereign over all things. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.